Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, but not such a great day for the President of the United States, who has been described as sliding Biden. His approval rating in the latest poll, it's hit 34%. I mean, this is getting into, this is comparable to where Trump was at the very worst part of his presidency, when he hit that level several times. Can Biden recover? We will talk about his big column in the Wall Street Journal and more. But first, we have a great privilege of welcoming Professor Wilfred Riley, who is an associate professor of political science at Kentucky State University. He is also the author of the best-selling books Taboo, 10 Facts You Cannot Talk About, and Hate Crime Hoax. And you have a response which is very important, and it's not a simple response, but it's one that people need to hear, to a tweet that was put out by Black Lives Matter. And just to give a setup here, the tweet proclaims, maintaining a white supremacist institution like policing costs black lives. This continued commitment by politicians to support our killers makes them accessories to our demise. Okay, where do you want to start in responding to that tweet, Wilfred?
Well, first I want to start by saying that it's totally and completely wrong, and then I want to go into plugging my recent work. But in all seriousness, and thank you for having me on, Michael, I and a number of professors at the University of Arkansas, Bob Maranto, Patrick Wolf, Maddie Harris, decided to become, and Heather McDonald has done this in the past, number of good researchers, Roland Fryer, but decided to become part of that kind of serious conversation where people with jobs look at sort of how to make Black Lives Matter. So during the entire 2 years of BLM, we've heard these sort of wild claims that the streets would be safer without police, that there's no way to reform policing. We saw a New York Times lead op-ed that was headlined, "Yes, we mean literally abolish the police," all of this sort of nonsense. And what myself and Bob and the rest of the team decided to do, and in fact, Bob is the lead author here, Bob Maranto, but what we decided to do is actually take a look first at whether Black Lives Matter had produced anything of value. So we read through the Black Lives Matter literature, the op-eds, also the scientific journal articles. And then secondarily, we wanted to look at, are there things you can actually do as a police department from, for example, a police captain's perspective, police brass perspective, to reduce police homicides and also to reduce the risk of your boys, your officers, getting shot? And we found the answer to the first question is not much. There's not a lot that they've really produced other than, you know, real estate value. But two, there are practical things you can do as a police department to minimize violent interactions with civilians. And the second, I think, is pretty important. We also found, by the way, although this is by no means a new revelation, but we found the obvious, that pulling back the police has had a tragic impact. I mean, as you probably know, murders in 2020 skyrocketed over 20,000 for the first time since the crack era, the late 1990s. They were up again in 2021. So we've really seen the tragic legacy of this idea of defunding the police. And
well, the tragic legacy, particularly for black people, right? I mean, that's the prime victim group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so this is something that's truly remarkable. There's always been a higher crime rate in the black community. It's an urban, younger community. But we've seen black homicides move from perhaps 25%. I'm not really familiar with what that might have been in the 1970s. But some chunk of the pool of murders in the USA to an astonishing 56% of all murders last year. So, I mean, in 2021, more than half of all the people that were killed in the United States were black people. And when you think about the fact that most of these people, the murderers and their victims, were young black men, you're in this weird place where 2% of the population is responsible on both sides of the gun for maybe 50% of the homicides. And that, too, is part of the legacy of BLM. It's part of what this movement actually produced. But in terms of solutions, I mean, we found fairly basic things. I mean, the New York City Police Department, believe it or not, was the highest performing of the police departments we look at. And I say believe it or not because we think of New York as a very big, chaotic city. But in fact, they average about 300, 400 murders a year in the Big Apple, far fewer than Chicago, Baltimore, so on down the line. And they employ very basic techniques. They still use comp stat policing. They send cops to exactly where the numbers indicate, you know, homicides are skyrocketing. They track officers specifically. If you get 2 complaints, for example, you're placed on desk duty for a very significant period of time. So you don't have, for example, Derek Chauvin's. I mean, whatever else happened that day. I mean, Chauvin was a cop out on the street with 3 previous violence complaints. He fatally shot a citizen. So the conclusion that we come to is you definitely need police, and they're also very basic techniques like taking rogue officers off the street, training cops to fight, by the way, to roll, to physically defend themselves, things of this kind that reduce those few violent encounters cops do have. None of it's rocket science, but it's a good template for moving forward and kind of leaving a lot of BLM behind. I don't think they accomplished all that much.
Well, leaving aside their accomplishments, what percentage of total black homicide victims are killed by white police officers?
Oh, it's a tiny number, and we touch on this in the paper as well. Again, Maranto and Riley, but I mean, under 3%, I would imagine. I mean, so there are about 1,000. In fact, we can calculate this just right now on the phone. I mean, so there are about 1,000 police shootings. I wouldn't call these all homicides in a typical year. There are about 20,000 homicides, half of them, 11,000, involve black people, 250 police shootings involve black people. Again, recall the absolute 75% majority of the victims here are Caucasian. They're just rarely, if ever, discussed. So about 3% of black shootings, black homicide fatalities involve a police officer. And again, of 93% of them involve another African-American man.
So much of this time,
we were distracted by a false target. That's sort of an unfortunate choice of words, but the reality is what it is.
Okay, and in terms of the improvements in policing to reduce the chances of a violent encounter with a member of the public, what's the most important number one procedure that should change or should be initiated for greater safety?
The most important is isolating the very few rogue officers. This is something that we found emphatically. This is something that's been found over and over before. So when officers say most of us are good guys, many of us are heroes, it turns out that this is absolutely correct. There is a small cadre of officers that accumulate the literal majority of the complaints in a department. And again, the departments that perform the best, like NYCPD, tend to be those departments that after your first complaint will take you and put you on desk duty doing something you hate, like motor pool, for perhaps a year. And you're very unlikely to get a second. Now, another element of this is that you're not going to punish officers for doing things like defending yourself in a tough hands-on situation. But verbal abuse of civilians or something like that in the body camera era wouldn't be tolerated. You have to fill out, complete a form every time you draw a firearm, for example. So you might move to, say, verbal judo instead, different ways of handling that confrontation. So make cops very responsible for weapons discipline. Teach cops to handle themselves physically without using the gun. Don't punish cops for foolish things. And I mean, this requires leadership to draw this distinction, but do punish them severely for things that can't be tolerated. But more to the point, if someone does rack up 4 or 5 complaints, I mean, where there's smoke, there's probably fire. Like, try to move that officer from the force. Because, again, it's a small group of people that are responsible for most of the smoke in every department.
Let us, we will come back in just a moment. Can you join us for a few minutes more, Professor Alley?
Sure can.
Okay, we will be right back with Wilfred Riley. His best-selling books are posted up at our website, Taboo, 10 Facts You Cannot Talk About, and Hate Crime Hoax, talking about reducing violence and encounters with police. What about reducing violence across the board? We'll be right back.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Michael Medved Show, speaking with Professor Wilfred Riley of Kentucky State University, best-selling author, very prominent black scholar, and somebody who is unafraid to take on even the most challenging issues. And certainly one of the most challenging issues would be the bad light that has been cast on police departments everywhere by what happened at Uvalde. And the general sense that once upon a time, people had very, very positive ratings for the ethical nature and for the reliability and professionalism of police departments, because the police in this country, and I know you've written about this, really helped greatly to bring down the crime rate for everybody, black and white and Latino and all Americans. Right now, with the crime rates seeming to rise most places, police departments have been gathering a great deal of the blame. Do they deserve it?
No, not at all. What happens in these situations in general is that external social policy causes crime to rise, and the police are forced to confront the results of that, and often to almost take the blame. The critique might be something like, as brutal as you guys are, we're still seeing a crime surge. And I mean, in fact, I'll say this even more bluntly. Generally, when the police are forced to stand down by society, and this is as simple as it sounds, you see a rise in crime. So, I mean, Mona Sharon, the center-right writer, says this excellently in a good book called Do-Gooders. But between 1963 and 1993, you saw Miranda, you have to be read your rights. I don't think most people object to that. But you saw Escobedo, the legal case, a significant extension of that. You saw, quote-unquote, community policing. You saw maximum sentencing. You saw a bunch of other 1960s criminal justice policies between 63 and 93. And you saw the actual crime rate increase by about 500% as police stops declined by, I think it was 46%. So, I mean, in 1963, you had about 8,000 murders. By 1993, the height of the crack era, and that didn't help either, you had 23,500 murders. And then, I mean, the general narrative here, and I think it is correct, is that you had sort of Giuliani, Bratton, you had broken windows policing, computer-aided policing, and you put tough cops back out on the street along with groups like the Guardian Angels, and you saw crime drop again. That might be a little simplistic, but, I mean, we all lived in cities like Chicago, New York, L.A. at this time and saw it happen. So now we're kind of seeing the same thing. I mean, after the death of George Floyd, even more so than in 2014, even more so than in 2017, we saw the police pull back. I mean, local newspapers were running headlines like police stops down 90%, crime skyrockets. And you saw an increase in crime. None of this is especially challenging. It's a chapter in Freakonomics. But every time it happens, you do find that social scientists, especially on the left, come up with all of these sort of complex reasons why the lack of policing doesn't have anything to do with the surge in crime. Let's just say I disagree with them.
Okay, when you disagree with them, are there some cities, some states that have handled this better than others?
Well, I think that most of the states. Now, to be fair to kind of the other side of this, there is an intervening variable here, which is COVID-19. So, I mean, obviously, if you have, you know, half the population locked indoors getting antsy and you have clashes in the streets outside over everything from policing post-George Floyd to food, I mean, you're going to have an unusual crime picture. But I think that there are a number of states that handled both COVID and crime relatively well. And I may be showing my own bias here, but probably first among those would be Florida under Ron DeSantis. And the policy there was just, you know, we're going to encourage indoor mask wearing and so on, but we're basically going to keep normal life going as much as possible. We do believe that having armed police on the streets reduces crime. We do believe that shutting down the economy is going to have massive consequences in terms of suicides and small businesses going under. So you didn't necessarily see the same surges there. And by the way, you didn't see them in well-run blue states that did much the same thing, like Colorado, by the way, either. But in terms of crime specifically, I think that just enforcing the law is a good first step against crime.
What do you think? I mean, this weekend there were over 60 shootings in Chicago and 10 fatalities, which is just Memorial Day weekend. And what's gone on with Chicago particularly to make it, for many people, certainly in terms of the number, not percentage of a very big city, but many people see Chicago right now as the murder capital of the country.
Well, I think that Chicago is not the most violent city in the country. I mean, if you actually break down every city, you find a number of small, heavily African-American and quote-unquote poor white cities in states like West Virginia, Arkansas, that are at the lead of that column. But Chicago is definitely the most violent, very large city. And unfortunately, I mean, those numbers aren't unusual. I mean, Chicago's been posting totals like that for at least the past several years. It doesn't even stand alone. I mean, in Philadelphia over the weekend, I mean, there were 41 people shot, 16 killed, a couple more clinging to life. And this is important to remember, by the way. We hear a great deal about mass shootings, and the gun debate often focuses on, you know, adult citizen ownership of assault rifles, quote unquote. The huge majority of the people killed by guns are young people, more than half black, shot with regular handguns at parties and the like, or in the gang scene. And again, the increase in violence that we've seen post-COVID during the police pullback has worsened these numbers. So murders, again, jumped. This tracks the BLM movement, the quote-unquote racial reckoning, very well. I mean, in 2014, 2015, we've gotten down to about 14,000 homicides. As we move through Baltimore, Ferguson, all of this, I mean, by 2017, we're up to around 17,000, and we're now up over 20,000. I mean, it's a simple graph that you can follow.
Yeah, and so when people try to relate that to the surge in gun purchases, it's not a result of the surge in gun purchases. It's obviously a reaction to it, because this happens every time, doesn't it? When there is a rise in crime, there's a rise in the desire on the part of law-abiding citizens to want to protect themselves.
Yeah, you already answered better than I could. I mean, the simple question is, are the people buying the guns that we're seeing bought, legal long guns, are those the ones committing the shootings? No, almost all the shootings are committed with legal or illegal handguns in certain inner-city areas. We need to figure out how to stop that.
We do, and one way to help get some background on figuring that out is to take a look at either of the two highly relevant books by Professor Wilfred Riley, Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, and Hate Crime Hoax, and it's his forthcoming work with a team of other academics, which to police departments really do make Black Lives Matter, which don't. And why don't most social scientists care? We will be right back with some bad news for Joe Biden and an argument that it's good news for Donald Trump when his endorsed candidates lose. Now, how does that help President Trump? We will get to that logic from NBC and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
By the way, I think your show is great. I disagree with almost everything you say, but you at least give people a chance to talk.
Michael Medved.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
More Americans worry about inflation and soaring gas prices than COVID-19 when it comes to travel concerns. A Morning Consult survey showing 90% of those questioned say they take gas prices into account when deciding on summer travel. However, about 60% say they were open to taking more trips this year than last year. This as President Biden welcomes Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell to the White House to discuss inflation, where the president says he's confident the officials at the Fed Reserve will help get inflation under control.
Chair Powell and other leaders of the Fed have noted at this moment they have a laser focus on addressing inflation. And with a larger complement of board members now confirmed, I know we'll use those tools of monetary policy to address the rising prices for the American people.
USA Radio News.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
On the Michael Medved show, it's been a rugged period of time for Joe Biden, not because of anything in the way that he handled the morning in Uvalde. Look, as the President of the United States, I think he does evince compassion. He can do that. But the question is, can he induce optimism and turn people around in this country? There's all kinds of bad indications. One that has gotten almost no attention but deserves some is that in the congressional race in the 5th District of Oregon, the radical Democratic nominee, the future squadster Jamie McLeod Skinner, has been declared the winner in a close race over Kurt Schrader, who was the endorsed candidate by Joe Biden. So even within the Democratic Party, he can't save this particular seat for a mainstream Democrat, and he's either going to get a radical Democrat far to the left, or he'll get the mayor of Apple Valley, whose name is Lori Chavez de Renner. She won the Republican primary, and this race is now considered very competitive. It wouldn't have been before. There's also, it's just fascinating to look at the latest poll, which is from Civics. And it does show that part of what had been keeping Joe Biden even having any kind of pulse politically was the fact that people felt sorry for him. I do believe that's a factor. Thought he was a well-intentioned, nice guy. He always had a higher, and by the way, this was typical of George W. Bush, too. He always had a higher favorability rating than approval rating. What's the difference? The approval rating, they ask you, what do you think of the job that the president is doing here, what he's doing there? Whereas the favorability rating, it's more of how do you feel about his personality? Do you like the guy? Well, for Biden, the approval rating is down. The likability rating, the favorability rating is way down. The how far down is it? It went down from 39% to 34%, which is incredible, with 55% disapprove. In other words, there's a 21-point negative for Joe Biden. But what is really incredible to me, and what caught my attention particularly in this new civics polling series, is that, okay, Biden was doing badly back in April, but he still had an edge in approval in Hawaii, Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maryland. Now it's just Hawaii. Hawaii would still has a majority approving of Joe Biden, but that's it. Massachusetts, it's very close. It's with below 50%, 45% approval, 42% disapproval. Vermont is 46% approval, 38% disapproval. But here's what's stunning, and pay attention to this, because this is a list of the swing states that are going to determine the control of the U.S. Senate. Arizona, it's now a 27% negative, 32% approval, 59% disapproval. Colorado, which does have a Senate seat up, where the Republicans in a landslide election, which this could be, but Colorado, it's 52% disapproval, 36% approval. Connecticut, another state that if these things hold up, where it's a 12-point gap, Delaware, that's his home state's 18-point gap against him. Georgia, this is painful. And this means that Stacey Abrams, especially since she is running against Brian Kemp, who got 74% of the vote in the primary. But in Georgia, it's 31% approval, 58% disapproval. It's 27 points. Ohio, it's more than that. Ohio, it's 32 points. And even Washington State, and this is of interest to me, it's negative in terms of the approval of Joe Biden. 42% approve, 48% disapprove. Which means that Tiffany Smiley, who's going to be a fine mainstream Republican candidate, could have a long shot chance against Patty Murray. And we have to have Tiffany back on the show and maybe to comment on 42-48 in Washington, negative toward Biden, 48% disapprove, 42% approve. And again, this is all remarkable when you look at it. And so his response to all of this is he has a very nice editorial in Wall Street Journal, and maybe helps him a little bit, but not much. And it's illustrated with a little cartoon of Joe, of Uncle Sam actually hitting the anvil and going to work and strength coming out of it and then lightning coming out of it. And what Biden talks about is he talks about three basic goals that he has economically, understanding that his real problem in this race is economics. The way National Journal sums it up, in an op-ed, Biden wrote in the Wall Street Journal that it is his priority to bring inflation down. Well, yeah. He proposed three broad measures. Number one, trusting the Federal Reserve. No, he says that. He said other presidents didn't trust the Federal Reserve. He will. Okay. Boosting America's productive capacity by investing in clean energy. Great. And lowering the cost of drugs, homes, and child care, and helping the IRS collect payments. Helping the IRS collect payments is the third one here. That's his big tax plan, is hiring a bunch of new IRS agents. Anyone think that's going to be popular and work out for Joe Biden? And then there's this interesting column in the NBC under the heading, it's by a writer named Zeeshan Aleem, MSNBC opinion columnist, and he writes, former President Donald Trump's increasingly patchy GOP endorsement record in this year's primaries has reportedly made him nervous about a potential third presidential campaign and emboldened potential 2024 hopefuls who see his influence waning. But in reality, the more crowded the field gets, the better his chances at winning the party nomination may be. Basically what it says is that, according to the Washington Post, it cites the Post, some Republicans have decided Trump's grip on the party isn't as tight as it used to be. I think that's true. And that there are increasingly visible opportunities to dethrone him in the run-up to the 2024 election. Potential contenders include Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Well, why is it a disaster if all of those guys run against Trump? Tell you coming up on the MedVet Show. Spring and summer, worth celebrating, don't you think? Particularly in the Northwest, but anywhere across the country. And something else worth celebrating, emerging from the pandemic and all the restrictions associated with it. So you're going to be more active. Why not be more ready for all of that activity with Relief Factor? This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more. And helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains, or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. The Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College promotes the principles of faith and freedom and equips the next generation of American leaders. Through bold opinion pieces, academic conferences on important topics, and examination of key figures and events in American history, the Institute and Grove City College stand apart from the indoctrination that's dominated much of higher education. The Institute for Faith and Freedom offers a brand new online course with scholar and historian Dr. Jay Cost on the mind of Madison in the midst of dysfunctional politics. The life and insights of James Madison can remind us of long-lost truths. What's politics supposed to accomplish? How should the people influence their political leaders? Go to faithandfreedom.com to learn more about their work and to take this new online course on the mind of Madison. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
And a piece in NBC, at NBC, it's an opinion piece by Zeeshan Aleem, and it basically reviews a list of potential challengers to President Trump for the Republican nomination, which the NBC source says, that's good news for Trump. They list Governor DeSantis, of course, former Vice President Mike Pence, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, the Governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. We've had Governor Christie on the show a lot, and it's definite that he is thinking about a possibility of a presidential race. And they don't even mention other potential candidates, Ted Cruz, who seems to be planning to run. And you also have people like Josh Hawley of Missouri, though he probably wouldn't run against Trump. But there are others who might, looking at Trump, looking vulnerable, as he does because of the lack of his endorsed candidates, very strongly endorsed candidates in states like Nebraska, where the gubernatorial candidate Charlie Herbster lost badly, in Idaho, where the lieutenant governor McGeehan, who Trump strongly endorsed, lost, got crushed in a landslide, and then of course in Georgia and elsewhere, Madison Cawthorn had Trump support, and he lost decisively in his bid for re-election. So again, it's not magic anymore that Trump wins, and according to reports on MSNBC and elsewhere, Trump and his advisors are saying that he is reconsidering basically the entire strategy of how he endorses and who he endorses. But they make the point that, listen, ironically, the fact that 2024 is looking more competitive than expected may be to Trump's advantage. Trump remains the most popular politician in the Republican Party by a big margin, and a majority of Republicans still approve of the direction in which he wants to take the party. He also remains a fundraising juggernaut. Assuming he runs in 2024, Trump will likely enter the race as the presumed nominee. That means other candidates need to find ways to distinguish themselves from the former president. What do they offer in ideology, experience, or personal style that Trump doesn't? The greater the number of candidates, the harder it is to stand out. Moreover, more competition will incentivize more aggressive infighting. In 2016's crowded presidential Republican primary, Trump's competitors fought against one another mercilessly. There was a whole series of negative ads against Marco Rubio, who was a major contender, by Jeb Bush, who at one time was a major contender. And that helped to clear a lane for Trump. For a huge chunk of the primary season, they were afraid to criticize him directly because they noticed that he had a unique ability to tap into the party's base's deepest and most reactionary instincts. That's what MSNBC says. The 2020 Democratic primary also showed how a crowded field can split the vote, which ultimately helped frontrunner Joe Biden. Look, I think that's true. I think that Trump is vulnerable. If he has one or two serious contenders, who could other contenders be? They haven't even mentioned Nikki Haley or Tom Cotton of Arkansas. There are all sorts of people. But if there is a flood of candidates against Trump, he will almost surely be the nominee if he wants it. And the idea of him making another race against, oh, say, another 12 candidates, a race that he would be almost sure to win, would he want to do that? Still want to do that? Who knows, but we will almost surely find out at some point soon. There is more on the war in Ukraine, of course. And Biden gave a Memorial Day speech in which the struggling president tried to offer some support for the forces of freedom and decency in Ukraine. This is clip three.
And in this moment, when a war of aggression is once more being waged by Russia to snuff out the freedom, the democracy, the very culture and identity of neighboring Ukraine, we see so clearly all that's at stake. Freedom has never been free. Democracy has always required champions. Today, in the perennial struggle for democracy and freedom, Ukraine and its people are on the front lines fighting to save their nation. But their fight is part of a larger fight that unites all people. It's a fight that so many of the patriots whose eternal rest is here in these hallowed grounds were part of. A battle between democracy and autocracy, between liberty and repression, between appetites and ambition of a few who forever seek to dominate the lives and liberties of many, a battle for essential democratic principles.
Is it fair to put the Ukraine-Russia war in that context? Of course it is. Could it have been done more inspiringly than President Biden's offering? Look, it's hard to criticize a Memorial Day speech. The president's still in there trying. Ursula von der Leyen, who is the head of the European Union, says EU leaders are now agreeing on principle on a very, very important initiative. This is clip two.
The Commission and the French Presidency have been working intensively in the last days to move forward on this package. We are not there yet, but it has matured for sure. My expectations are low that it will be solved in the next 48 hours, but I'm confident that thereafter there will be a possibility. Overall, my call is very clearly to all member states. We have one key to success. And this is solidarity with Ukraine and unity of the European Union. We already had successfully fulfilled 5 sanction packages, and it was never easy. The same here. We've now basically solved all the issues but one, and this is the question of crude oil via pipeline. And here the discussions are still ongoing.
Okay, they're talking about putting on a total Russian oil embargo. That would be serious. I don't even know if they have embargoed Top Gun in Russia, but they'll get some pirated copies or something of that nature. This is a worldwide super hit. Listen.
Now it's time for MedBed's Energy for MedBed Payment Minute.
After more than 30 years as one of the Navy's top aviators, Pete Maverick Mitchell takes on the task of training a new generation of hotshot high-tech warriors in Top Gun, Maverick, now playing in theaters everywhere.
Everyone here is the best there is. Who the hell are they going to get to teach us?
With all due respect, I'm not a teacher. I just want to manage expectations.
Haven't any fun yet?
Yeah, and there's plenty of fun with fantastic scenes of aerial combat and a nail-biting plot about a desperate mission to take out a nuclear facility of an unnamed enemy. There are lots of references to plot points in the first film from 36 years ago, including a significant appearance by Val Kilmer and a supposedly rekindled romance with Jennifer Connelly as a character never really referenced in the original film. Rated PG-13 for scenes of lush sexuality and dangerous combat. 3 stars for the undeniably successful sequel Top Gun Maverick. And coming up tomorrow, the Uvalde School Police Chief, Pete Arredondo, will not be sworn in as a newly elected Uvalde City Council member as planned today. It was not happening. He was elected to the City Council on May 7th, was slated to take the oath of office during a specially called City Council meeting on Tuesday. Well, not according to a meeting agenda posted online. We will play the latest on what happens to the police who were responsible for what many people see as mismanagement. There's an actress who tweets out a suggestion for buying back AR-15s and all assault rifles and sending them to Ukraine. How would that work exactly? We will cover that. And Seattle is going to increase parking enforcement aimed at RV dwellers who are infesting the city streets everywhere. And people who drink coffee not only live longer, says a study, but they're less likely to suffer dementia in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi everyone, this is Fred Dreyer for Balance7.com. Do you have acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you like? Your stomach is upset all the time? Chronic pain a problem? Then do yourself a favor and go to Balance7.com. Start living again and get rid of chronic pain. Balance 7 has all the natural ingredients that work to rid your body of inflammation. I take it every day to keep my inflammation and acid indigestion in check. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, get rid of your acid indigestion and inflammation with Balance7.com. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. 800-793-9039 or go to balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.